Yo, and welcome to the 146th episode of League of Rage Pokemon Trading Card Game Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp. I'm joined today by a very special temporary guest host joining us for, is it the third time? Do you remember?
I'm definitely too old to remember that.
That's valid.
But 146th episode, if I could wait four more episodes, I can have on 150. Damn it.
You know, just win another tournament, we'll get you on for 150.
easy. Okay, let me sign that.
But if you don't recognize that voice or you don't recognize the face on screen, we have Alessandro Cremascoli, aka iCaterpie. Alessandro, thank you so much for joining us. You are fresh off a top four at the European International Championships with Pidgeot Control.
Hey. Hi everyone, Pidgeot Control, the Pokemon decide to change the name of the deck is Other Control. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to see every name and then me with Other Control. Like, hey, what are you doing there in top 8? I mean, I try my best.
So if anyone had...
It's basically Pidgeot Control,
If anyone hasn't listened to our previous podcast with you or doesn't recognize the name, I feel like newer generation of player, as in the post-pandemic, is always like, oh, Sander is the control god, right? And he is obviously very good at control. But when I was playing, which is a little bit pre-pandemic, you were there every single time with Gigas Hoopa or some other control list. So you've been a control master, at least in my eyes, for years and years. What draws you to control and what drew you to Pidgeot Control specifically for looking at your limitless page last 8 tournaments you've played in at least?
Yeah.
So what draws you to this?
Yeah. Let's start to say that you are so cute to recognize me almost in the same level of Sander. I started to play a long time before Sander. I have more achievement, but Sander is my god as well because I love his mind. I mean, I love him as a player and as a person, but the way that he has to approach the tournament to build the deck is so intriguing. I love that man so much. Why Pidgeot? It's I don't know, it's kind of first sight love. I missed my first tournament in the season in Barcelona because I was to my best friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. Damn him, like who take a non wedding in the same day of the tournament, but
you gotta get new friends, clearly.
definitely. And I was testing, I don't actually remember what I was testing at the time, but at some point during my live stream, one of the guys keep asking me about Snorlax, like the basic version of Snorlax, because 8 months ago there was just one version of Snorlax, the basic one. And I started playing and it was really good. It was really good at the time. Mm-hmm. Then I was playing a version with Snorlax with Luxray in it because it seems like the classic version of Snorlax was too passive at the time. So I already started to attack with Luxray. And there was I had the Lille regional tournament on Saturday. And 2 days before, I was on stream, and I met a mirror match when my opponent was playing Pidgeot in the deck without the Luxray. So I get the advantage of the Luxray, and I won the mirror match. But it was so intriguing that he can take the cards that he need every time. So I put my version and the Pidgeot that I found online together. So I present my list in Lille for the first time, and it was a blast. Like, I really love it. Having the Pidgeot completely changed the way to play a classic Snorlax version, because I can actually be prepared instead of just counter the moves of my opponent. And from that, I just keep playing the same deck, try to fix the list. That's exactly the things that I love playing control during the season. Try to be as much prepared as I can in order to have a perfect list to counter the many adjustments that my opponent can do to the meta. And I miss only one day two in the tournament this season. I got a top 32 in LIC. I don't really understand why during the world the UIC they keep saying top 64. It was a top 32. I mean, but I got top 32 at LIC. I got the top 4 at UIC. I basically already achieved everything that I want with this list, so completely fine with that. Now you will see me at NIC in a couple months. I already booked my flight. I already booked my hotel in New Orleans, and I mean, I'm scared so much about the new Tyranitar, I don't know the name, but beside that, I can't wait for it.
So one thing...
And every noise that you can hear is my son that he probably, I don't know what they're doing to him, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess I should have actually led with that. Last time we had you on, you were expecting your first child, and now you do have your first child. How old is he?
Yeah, 1 year, and I definitely prefer the older situation where I was waiting for it.
Fully respect that.
My life
that.
Is so hard. It's so hard, my life now.
I also want to add...
You could prepare me for that. Why did you just say nothing?
I'm pretty sure I said it's going to be hard, and you were like, oh, but it will be great. Yeah. You are also the reason that they now have a age limit on the juniors competitors. Yeah. Can you add to that story?
I mean, it's my fault, but it's not my fault. Like, I didn't want to make a mess. I just thought that I have a special premier event in Italy, very close to my place. And it seems like a funny occasion to bring my son to the tournament. And so we could have my son, me, and my father as a player, three different generation of players in the same tournament. I mean, of course, my son, it was like 3 months old. Of course, he couldn't play. We just dropped him in the first round. I didn't expect that to create a mess with that. But apparently, the organizer didn't like it. So they make a new rule that state that if you don't have at least 6 years old, you can't participate in an official tournament. I mean, sorry, guys, if you have less than 6 years old, it's my fault. Sorry, I didn't want that, but I could never imagine. I mean, I still think that some sort of regulation needed to be made, because in Italy, I'm expecting many regions of the world, but in Italy, I could actually borrow my son with me in every tournament. And sometimes if he could be the only player, of course, he can easy max the local amount of cup challenge. I mean, I don't want to, but I could. So I think some sort of regulation was in order. Still being 6 years old, it's a little bit too much for that. Like, but I mean, I'm not the one to make a rule, so...
No, yeah, we've definitely, at least locally here, there are people who are, you know, little kids, 4 or 5 years old, who are, they can compete with the juniors, and they're not bad at the game.
Yeah, I mean, during my time, and again, during the UIC, I remember the caster say that I'm playing since 22 years, and I actually done, but they tell them like I was so old, like, okay, I'm feeling old. That's no reason why you should say like that.
Well, as one Pokedad talking to another Pokedad, I want to say thank you for doing so well and encouraging me that I can maybe do as well. Of course, I haven't been playing for 22 years and I have not played as much Pidgeot control as you have. So we'll see about the doing well. But
power.
Yeah, exactly. Big congrats. And then your son will always be able to have that in that. You know, there's a ton of kids, right? JW just had a kid. Yeah, Chip has a kid. I've got my kid. Your kid will be able to say they are the youngest competitor
ever. A lot of us are having a child right now. I honestly can't wait in 10 years to see all of them playing the tournament in the junior division. That would be awesome.
Another thing that you kind of already mentioned, but I want to go back to real quick, is you were playing on stream when you originally created the Pidgeot control. And I tuned into your stream before EUIC, and you were... not surprisingly, playing Pidgeot control. You stream the decks that you are going to play.
Yeah.
Why? Why are you willing to give that information to everyone?
It's I was really struggled with that. I make this kind of thoughts. I was like I say, I come from a different era. Mm-hmm. When I started to play, there wasn't all of this sort of information. If you want a deck list, you have to pay for it. Like there was a time when especially in the big local, if some deck make a good results and you want to know that, you can actually pay for the deck list, not the deck, just the deck list, because at that time there wasn't like all of the social media that we have right now. There wasn't YouTube, all of the stream that we're making right now, and the deck building process was really hard to make. Mm-hmm. I came from that era, and the Alessandro of that era would never give his secret in this way. But we live in a different era. Like, yes, in the USC I play a very peculiar list, but beside Neuvern, there wasn't any really secret. Like, yes, many of the cards, I mean, you never saw all of those tech all together in the same list. Mm-hmm. But separately, I wasn't really testing anything that you couldn't find in probably the Limitless Online tournament. So in this specific time of the history of the game, I don't think there is space for secrecy anymore. Everyone always play everything, so it's really hard to see something really like the Mewtwo V Union that Sander bring for the first time at NIC. That was just pure genius. But I mean, of course, if I have something that specific, probably I wouldn't play in stream. But I was playing basically the same list that I played for 6 months, and with just the adjustment that the rotation and the new set forced me to do it. So also, since I am a new dad, having a balance between the family, the work, the Pokemon time, the stream, it's really hard. And if I wouldn't play the deck that I wanted to play, the USC, basically I would be wasting 2 hours, and I don't want to waste 2 hours. So also, there are most of the players that play in that see my stream are Italian, and I mean, I'm not really care about the Italian player, because they I mean, how many chances there are to face an Italian tournament, an Italian player in a 2600 player tournament? Like, yeah, okay, you know my list, you know how to beat me, okay, it's one in 25 player, lucky. Mm-hmm. But again, one of the things of my list, it's really hard to tech against it. Like, I'm not playing a Snorlax Classic where you can just play Minior and you have a good matchup. It's, even if you wanted to tech against me, it's really hard. Like, yeah, Neuvern is a specific deck and you need the Temple of Sin to beat me. But how can a Charizard tech against the pile of cards that I'm playing? Like, I have 6 different win condition against Charizard. You can't attack against all of them. So during the day 1 and day 2, I beat one Zard with Gengar. I beat Tord with Turo, with 2 Turo and Sheer. Like, it's really difficult to prepare for something that honestly I don't even know how to describe. Like, mm-hmm. It's just I wanted to annoying my opponent as much as I can, but besides that, I don't have like a specific win condition.
That makes sense. So your deck has, and we even said this before, like, this deck is incredibly hard to play. Your deck has many different lines that you can choose in any matchup.
Yeah. Like, this is actually what I like about that. Mm-hmm. It's even if I like, let's talk about Charizard. I can't use Mawile or Snorlax anymore, because there aren't many ways to trap Rotom or stuff like that. So I need to find something else. And something else that means that I put the devolution. So maybe you are tech against the devolution machine. Okay, I can use Mimikyu. Maybe you are tech against Mimikyu. Okay, I can use Buffalant. Like, I like to have a plan B. Mm-hmm. I mean, against Charizard, I also have a plan C, D, E, and F. But basically, against most of the deck, I just have a plan A, plan B, and that's what I really like. Mm-hmm. For the USC, I was prepared against 20 different deck. I test for 10 days, 8 hours per day. I analyze more than 2,000 lists in the online tournament. I was prepared to face 20 different deck. I wasn't sure to win against 20 different deck, but at least I got a plan.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to lose it against Lugia, but thanks God I only faced one, so yay.
So I want to add, because you said 8 hours a day, you are full-time Pokemon between content creation and coaching, correct?
Right now it's complicated. Like, I'm counting 8 hours between the coaching session, the stream session, my personal time. Mm-hmm. Right now I quit temporarily the coaching because I'm opening a car shop in Italy. Cool. And I'm swapping, like focusing all of my resources, like time and money in that. Basically, that will be a kind of big place. I honestly don't know if it's a big place compared on what you have in the USA or not, but it will be like 150 seat for players between Pokemon Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, any card game, any board game, chess, mm-hmm. or like anything. This is my world since 25 years, and it seems like to have sense to make this my work and not just the social content creator stuff.
That's awesome. Congratulations on, or soon to be congratulations on opening a store as well.
Thank you. I'll let you know in a year if it's a good choice or not.
I'll be sure to get the updates. So let's jump into the list a little bit, because you already gave us a little hint into like some of the Charizard stuff and some of those matchups. I want to talk a little bit about some of the cards, and then I think that's going to lead into some of the matchups as well.
Sure.
So one of the cards that we see, it's pretty much never, and I think I've heard people say like, oh, this card has to be a joke, like it can't be that good, and that is your 1/1 Noivern EX line with, I'm gonna assume, the Mist Energy gets put in there as well.
Yeah.
Can you sell us on why you're playing the Noivern in this deck compared to other stuff?
I was basically telling the same stuff yesterday in stream, because a lot of people are asking me questions about the deck, but what it seems like to be missed is between the pre-rotation and the post-rotation, there is one card that changed everything in the way that we saw this specific deck. Mm-hmm. It was the Echoing Horn. In the previous set, I wasn't playing Echoing Horn, but at least in the format, there was the Echoing Horn. So if you're playing no matter what deck, like Gardevoir, Charizard, or any deck that has at least one Pokemon that can be trapped, like Manaphy, Jirachi, Greninja, or Pokemon like that, mm-hmm. you, at some point, I'm gonna get it. Because you either have in the end or in the discard pile. So between Erika and Echoing Horn, I'm gonna get it, mm-hmm. no matter what you can do. And that is a specific win condition. Right now, Echoing Horn is no longer in the format. What does this change? If you're playing a Pokemon that can be trapped, you have the advantage to know that if you discard that Pokemon, there's no way I can get it. And I'm not gonna play Mantine, so there's no way I'm gonna get that Pokemon from the discard pile. Mm-hmm. So the whole trap things, it's not a win condition anymore. Mm-hmm. And I realized that after like a week, a couple of days, I don't remember, during my test. So if the whole trap things is not a tech anymore, a win condition anymore, I needed to find some other specific win condition. So I cut off Erika, I cut off Snorlax, I only have one Noivern, and I was analyzed the list of the decks in the online tournament, as I said before, and from what I see, the most common list of future box was playing either the psychic energy or the switch card, not both. Like, of course, I face probably one of the few guys that play psychic energy, switch, and Erika in the day two. I wasn't ready for all of them, but yeah. Most of the list that I'm prepared against was either one of them. So if they play the psychic energy and they don't play the switch card, I can win just by trap an Iron Crown in the active spot. Because once I get rid of the Prime Catcher, that Iron Crown will stay active forever. Mm-hmm. Either time, if they don't have the psychic energy, they don't have any single way to attack Noivern. Because the attack of Iron Crown, it's basically a shred, so they can go through the Noivern effect. But if they don't have the psychic energy, they can't attack Noivern. And I put the Noivern block, it's Noibat, Noivern, Ultra Ball, Torton, and Mist. Mm-hmm. Because at some point I need all of these cards to get with the Noivern alone in the field. If he's not alone, they can go for Delibird, Boss Order, Prime Catcher, Boss Order, stuff like that. And I don't want that. And I try so much to find a way to counter Lugia. I literally tried anything. I tried Clawf, I tried Wigglytuff, I tried with two baby Luxray, I tried with three Snorlax, three Temple of Sinnoh, two Giacomo, two Erika. There's no way I could beat Lugia. I mean, if Lugia brick, I don't need any tech. Like, I can just attack with Charizard with 5 energy because Lugia brick. But if Lugia doesn't brick, there's no way I can do anything. Like, they can kill my Pidgeot in the second turn. There's nothing I can do to prevent that. So, at some point, I decide to... Okay, if I face Lugia, it doesn't matter, I lost. I just needed the top 1,000 in this tournament to secure my day 2 for Worlds, so I'm fine with that. I decide to completely ignore Lugia and put something that actually can give me some easiest matchup, because playing this kind of deck can be really hard, and playing this deck for 9 rounds or, like in my case, for 2 days can be exhausted. And I never had time to get a lunch break, a bathroom break, a drink break. I basically didn't eat or drink anything in 2 days. And it was really hard. If I can get some free win during my time, I can definitely be happy. So I test the Noivern. And like I say, 20 different deck doesn't mean Lost Box 1, Lost Box 2, Lost Box 3, Lost Box 4. That means that Noivern can help me improve 6 different matchups. Mm-hmm. Future Box, as I already said. Ancient Box. Roaring Moon. Lost Box. And the probably not so common deck like Gouging Fire and Raging Bolt. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to face... those specific decks, but at least with Noivern, I will have an easiest matchup. So, if you have a few knowledge on how to deck building a control deck, if you can find 2 cards that fix 6 matchup, you take it. You take immediately take it. So that's why the 1-1 Noivern list. And if you are preparing for Orlando and you're thinking about playing the same list, I don't recommend to play the same list because Noivern has the surprise factor in the UIC. And if you're thinking about playing the same deck in the next tournament, you will no longer have the surprise factor that I had. So the deck might be good again, but you have to take some changes. What I recommend? I don't know. That's the most common question that I receive. What do you recommend? Any change? I don't know, because my change will base on your tournament. So I have to wait your tournament to decide what change I can make. So I don't know what change I can make right now. I'm pretty sure Noivern will be no longer an option anymore after the first tournament. But in those specific tournament, it gives me 4 win in 2 days and definitely get it.
That's pretty good. 4 wins in 2 days and 4 wins, like you said, yeah, where you don't have to do much of anything. Like, you don't have to think quite as hard, is very appealing.
Yeah, definitely. Like I beat Alex Schmanske with that. I beat Elosbox again. My top eight. I got my top eight against Mark with that because at some point I just Neuver and Scoop because it doesn't have anything to beat Neuver. So I mean, imagine a tech that can actually give you a top eight at the international tournament. Would you take it? I did, definitely.
This podcast is sponsored by Tabletop Village. Now, you might be saying, all right, Mello, we've heard you talk Tabletop Village's praises before. We get it. But it's more than just, hey, if you use code MELLO5 at tabletopvillage.com, you help support the podcast. Tabletop Village is truly something that I love and that I want everyone who can support to support. It is the best local game store I have ever seen. They are Pokemon first. It is family-owned and operated. And they are more than just selling cards. They are building a community. Anyone in the Washington area definitely should be familiar with this. And if you live in Western Washington and you've not been to Tabletop Village, you have to. 10 out of 10. If you're here for vacation, definitely a place to stop at. Again, it is family owned and operated. The owner, Brian Myers, is one of the nicest people in the community. Someone that you should definitely get to know if you get the chance. And if you are looking for cards, it's not just Pokemon cards, but they do also have some things like Lorcana and One Piece. They've been getting into more and more. They have sleeves and deck boxes and all that other good stuff. So if you need any of that and you want to support a local, no, maybe not local for you, local for me, but a small family owned business and help support the podcast, use code MELLO5 for 5% off your order. Anyway, let's get back to the show. So another thing you mentioned with the Neuvern is you need a board where Neuvern is your only Pokemon, but you don't play Turo. You do play pennies, of course. So how do you actually get that board of just Neuvern? Are you not getting the Pidgeot on the field at all in that matchup? Or like, how do you do it?
It depends. It depends on the matchups that I face against and the setup that I have in the early game. Like if I have two or maybe... like even just two of the pieces that I need for the Neuvern, like the I have Neuvern and the DT, or I have Torton and DT, like two pieces, I don't play Pidgeot. Because one thing that all of these six decks has in common, they don't play any disruption. So I can just keep draw with Rotom until they have one prize left, I don't care. I play with a very short field and just wait for them. Like I want one Rotom in the active spot, one Noibat in the bench. And if they take the knockout on Rotom, I have the Noibat that became Noivern. If they take the knockout on Noibat, my Rotom with Torton became Noibat and then Noivern again. If I have literally nothing, I have to go for Pidgeot because I need very specific cards. And some point, just promote Pidgeot and start attack. That Pidgeot have to die. At some point, they have to take out Pidgeot, otherwise it takes six prize with Pidgeot. I mean, but it's still a win condition. So you start attack with Pidgeot. When the Pidgeot will be knocked out with the basic doesn't matter Pokemon that you have to do in the bench, you can go Torton, Neuvern, and get the things.
That makes a lot of sense.
I was thinking about Turo, but at some point I just realized, hey, Pidgeot must die. I don't care about Turo, just...
Yeah, 100 damage a turn does add up when you're not doing anything against it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I actually win my day one last turn with Pidgeot. I was playing against Fabien Puyol, he was playing Gardevoir. He didn't get a good setup, so I decided to take advantage. Like, second turn, Pidgeot, knockout, 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 knockout. It's one of the things that really changed in this format. My most common win condition is by taking prize. I use Pidgeot as an attacker in probably... 3 out of 4 game in the tournament.
Wow. So that's actually like really, really common then to win by prizes.
Yeah. And that can be, can take your opponent by surprise. Like I'm saying, one of the really difficult things is imagining every card in your deck for its full potential, not just how you supposed to play it. but in how many different ways you can play it.
Another card.
I use the second attack of Buffaland.
I don't. Just, what does that even do?
120 with four. Something like that.
Let's talk about the Buffalant too, though. That's one where pre-rotation, it was very clearly a tech for Giratina, right? You lost on all their psychics or grass, depending on how the game goes. Mm-hmm. What else is the Buffalant actually doing? Is it still a Tina tech? Is it kind of like good in everything? Is it like, why are you playing the Buffalant?
No, in the previous format, I tested the Buffalant against the Tina matchup. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all because it's too slow. Mm-hmm. And in order to function in its full performance, you need a couple Buffalant, you need a Giovanni, you need a very specific situation, and I didn't like it. Against Tina, Charizard still remain your best win condition. Mm. But Buffalant was the very last card that I had in the deck. It was the Thursday night before the UIC. I was deciding if I wanted to play something in the mirror match or not. I only have one mirror match in 2 days, and it was my win and din for the top 8. Buffalant got me 2 win in 30 minutes.
Okay, so that's a quick win.
Huge. It's huge, especially because I wasn't really expecting to face another Buffalant from the other part, because it was so rare to see in the deck. It can help you in actually a lot of situations, because during the day I use Buffalant a lot more than I imagine, especially against Zard, because one of the things that I noticed during my tournament is every Zard player don't want to have the auto loss to the control. I imagine it's fair, because there was a lot of Pidgeot control. Like, I think it would be 180 Pidgeot control in the whole tournament. So almost 1 out of 10 player was a Pidgeot control. And that's huge from my point, especially because if you think about the situation a couple months ago, Pidgeot control was not really common. Like the Snorlax classic list was the most popular one. So I've seen 180 player. I mean, I definitely think I talk with most of them during the last month, but I use Pidgeot, I use Buffalant in many situations. The most common was against Zard, because it's a deck that can really suffer by it. But it was supposed to give me a decent strategy against Arc, Tina, and the Mirror Match. It gives me the win in the Mirror Match and against a couple of Zard, so it was definitely worth it. It can be easy countered by the Mist, by Vacuum, but if you have Buffalant also in your strategy, it's good. If it's your only strategy, it's not good.
That makes a lot of sense. It's one of those, like you said, there's many lines with the deck that you can take
every turn. Yeah, exactly.
Another card that stands out to me, at least, is the Roseanne's Backup. And this is because this is the card that normally you see from lists from newer players. They want to add a Roseanne's Backup, and you're like, no, that card sucks. And yet, here you are, running the Roseanne's Backup to success. So
I agree with them. Roseanne sucks. I agree with them. I tried to play Roseanne in over a year, I think. But in my initial list, I was playing the Master Ball as ace spec. And I wasn't played the Mist Energy. This deck suffered the loss of 2 cards, Clara and Peonia. I really suffered those two rotation lost. And Clara take a really hit on the deck. When after I had the Heroescape, it seems like just having sense to add Roseanne as well to recover the tool. So this is one of the few decks that can play the same A spec more than once in the same game. Most of in some games I play the Heroescape three times thanks to the double Rosen, so definitely huge. And the combination of Rosen and Torton gives me a lot of more than possibilities to the win condition. And after I add the devolution as well, like I can recover the devolution, I can recover the DT, I can recover the Heroescape, Rosen was just makes sense. It was just like a must have in a deck like this. So I imagine the game against Chen Pao, I can devolution, Rosen devolution, Palpad Rosen devolution. I actually won a game like that. My opponent wasn't happy about that.
Is that the main win condition against Chen Pao then, is devolution spamming, or do you have like a lot of little tools you can do?
If in the same turn you can play Airy and devolution, your opponent most of the time is not happy. Then you can Mawile the Bibarel and make him waste resources. Then you can go for Luxray if they don't have Bibarel. Or if they have few Pokemon in the field, you can attack with Zard. Like I say, there are many different ways to play this deck. And I think this is what separate, like, I'm used to play this deck. So most of the time I can see the different strategy that I can use based on the cards that I have in my hand. And I think this is the most difficult things that a new player of this deck has to face. Take time to understand the amount of things that this deck can do.
You mentioned a little bit about the no Peonia anymore. So we have a new solution that some people had been suggesting pre-EUIC, which was Daisy's Help. Is that the full name? Draw two, look at your prize cards, and then the Arc Phone to switch your top card of your deck with one of your prize cards. You've opted for neither of those two pieces to go into your prize. It's just the two heavy balls. Why did you decide against having access to your prizes with those combination of cards?
I tested. Like, I think before the USC, I spent 10 days testing literally everything that anyone suggests me, because I wanted to have an answer to the question, why are you playing, why are you not playing the specific card? And the combination was awful, like really awful. If you have the Arc Phone, if you have one of the two pieces prize, you basically waste two space. If you have like, you need time to use those cards, but also you can't decide the top cards of your deck that you put in the prize, so maybe you hurt yourself more than you take it. And I just prefer to put more win condition, so even if I have something prize, I can deal with something else. So basically, I recovered from that. I took out the second Rotom in order to put in the second Heavy Ball, because I have 10 specific basic Pokemon that I don't want to be in the prize. Like, even in the semifinal against Isaiah, I had to use Heavy Ball twice because I have both PG and Zard prize. Definitely never regretted, because during my test, most of the time, Luxray and the Heavy Ball was both prized. So I decided, hey, okay, you're definitely play against me, so let me just put the second one and be safe. But yeah, I miss Peonia. This is not a decent solution, but I really hope in the future they are gonna give me something like that, because I miss Peonia so much. I almost lost the game because I had two Pidgeot prize, and it wasn't... good, like, Pidgeot prize.
Yeah, it's a pretty important card for this deck, isn't it?
yeah, kind of.
And then one of the things we talked about before the podcast that you said a lot of people have asked you about, you do not play Erica's, which you already mentioned, right? Trapping's no longer super viable, but we also don't have a Misfortune Sisters, which normally, you know, attacking the deck for a lot of things, right, is incredibly important. So So why did you decide against Misfortune Sisters when you have a card like Eerie? So clearly you do want to discard items.
Yeah, the thing is, it's different between having the card in the hand and maybe take the card in the deck. If Misfortune Sister, if the text of the card was check your opponent's deck and discard two random item, that would be amazing. I would use it because it actually gives me the chance to discard something. Mm-hmm. But from my experience, both Misfortune Sister and Team Yell Cheer was cards that we already had in the previous format. And in the first initial list, I was playing it because there was some specific matchup where you need it and you want to get it. But if you are discarding your opponent's trainer with Eerie and Luxray, mm-hmm. and your opponent doesn't have a good field, doesn't have a good hand, the random item top deck doesn't change his deck, doesn't change his play. So I don't care if you at some point top deck, like imagine to play against a Chen Pao. Mm-hmm. Yes, superior energy retrieval can help you a lot. And yes, superior, I can discuss superior with Misfortune. But if you have a B-Barrel in the active position and I trap in with my Wile, I don't care if you top deck the superior or not. Because I already set up my field in order to prevent that threat. Basically, this is the reason why I don't play Misfortune. It's just I don't. There is always a better supporter that you can use, and I don't like to take the chance on a random card unless it gives me a win condition. Team Cheer, Yell Cheer is just. Palpad is an active card because using Palpad, I immediately put back the supporter, and with Pidgeot, I can immediately use the supporter. Cheer is an half active card because I need to take one more turn in order to get the use of the supporter. So I just prefer to play three Palpad instead of Cheer.
That makes a lot of sense. Alessandro, we have to talk about it. I hope it's not too soon. The top four match, which if anyone has not watched, truly a spectacular match to watch. But can you walk us through a little bit about, because it felt like you were playing incredibly well. So can you walk us through a little bit about your matchup against Isaiah and what you were doing mm-hmm. against what is normally a tough matchup in Lasso and Giratina? I think it, as a person who doesn't play this deck as much as you do, think that is a very tough matchup. Can you walk us through the Tina matchup and then a little bit about that top four match as well?
Okay, so I already faced Isaiah before in the tournament. Mm-hmm. We played in the Swiss day two. Basically, I break the first one, he break the second one, so we tie. But the thing is, I already knew what he's playing. Mm-hmm. And of course, before our top four game, I had his list. I'm pretty sure he had my list. It's a pretty common thing when you arrive in that situation. Before explaining what happened during the game, I wanted to make a lot of excuses for myself. I'm old. I was so tired. They make me wait 1 hour and Thord was playing. I was so bored because watching Thord play. I watched Thord play at least twice a month. I already know him better than himself. So I didn't have time to eat. I didn't have time to drink. I had just one quick bathroom break. I'm making excuse. Basically, I'm making excuse. I just make a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, the truth is I just make a mistake. And I think I'm blaming myself so much. You have no idea how much I'm blaming myself because until that game, I was making an amazing tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, usually I never give myself a compliment because, especially in this season with this deck, I always make mistake during the day one, day two. But in this tournament, I was doing really great. Like I play, I get out of many difficult situation. I managed to win a game that I wasn't sure to win, and even against Isaiah, where I had a really bad start because I had to use twice the Heavy Ball to get my Pokemon in the prize. I played three Pokegear in the first turn and I missed the Arven all of the time. At some point, I knew that if... I mean, when I remain with Pidgeot as my last Pokemon in play, I get my game. Like, I knew that my opponent didn't have the resources to win that matchup. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about the Banette, because if I discard the Steel Stone instead of the Noibat, he just hit for 360 instead of taking the knockout. I already had my plan prepared, like Charizard knockout, Yono, Charizard knockout for the win. Of course, I was lucky twice in that game, because he missed the Mirage Gate in the second turn in order to take the double knockout of PG. He had the Boss Order prize, so I was lucky during the game. But in the end, I think I set up the game really well, and I could manage to win that if I didn't make that mistake. It was a stupid mistake? Yes, absolutely. I'm just old and tired. Like, honestly, Isaiah has like 10 years less than me, so he definitely have the age advantage, and he use it in the best way. Like, I mean, you can feel me, right?
I do. I think what you're saying is what we all believe is we need an age division difference. So we don't have to compete against...
I wanted the Poké Dead division.
See, that's perfect. Not even age. If you have a kid, that way...
Exactly. I want to play against the other Poké Dead. But no, yeah, I just make a mistake. It's understandable, I guess. After too long days. I don't want to be excused for that, because with my experience, I shouldn't make mistake, but... what can I say? Sometimes I make. After the first game, I already knew that I couldn't win that game. But I mean, I wasn't streaming. It was the first time during the tournament that I wasn't streaming, so it seems like fair. Continue to play for the show. Like in the second game, I didn't need the Bufalant play, but it seems funny, so I decided to go for the Bufalant play. Even I think at some point even Isaiah started to have fun, because he didn't need to let me win with the CU. It was fun. Even that, when I won the second game, I asked how much time left. 10 minutes. Okay, sure. Why? Let's waste another 10 minutes. I mean, unfortunately, my deck in a best of three situation with someone that can take prize can't win. I think we all know that. Mm-hmm. But it seems bad just coop in a semifinal like that. So I actually enjoy playing my second game. It was really tough. It was a fun game. Basically, I like playing my deck, so one more game didn't really cost me anything.
So you're telling me we should be having fun when we're playing the game?
I mean, I When Chip was interviewing me, I was I never rewatch my game because I don't care about the game. But I always rewatch my game because I wanted to see what the chat is writing. And there is so much hate on the control player. Like I was talking with Chip about the tournament, and there was this guy that wrote four times, "There is a place in the hell for people like you." Wait. That's to you. I'm just playing control. Don't hate me for that. But I read right now. I watch only the first game. There was a lot of comment about my coat. Thank you. Thank you for making a comment.
You
about
definitely.
My coat. Thank
your
you.
Style game was so good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a cosplay of Luker. I didn't remember about Luker at that time. But thank you if you appreciate my coat. Thank you if you appreciate my style. Thank you. I mean, if you appreciate my deck, my sleeves, and sorry if I make a mistake and seems like I don't know what I'm doing, because I know what I'm doing. I just make a mistake.
Never listen to Twitch chat. Chat will, that's just, they're too
toxic. That can be mean. Sometimes Twitch chat can be mean, definitely. But they also, most of them actually was just manifest a lot of love, a lot of appreciation. So I really like it. I really like it. It was like sympathizing with me, my situation. I'm super happy about the Isaiah win. I was talking with him before, during, and after the game. I met Isaiah for the first time during one of the early NIC before COVID. I'm his super fan. He actually asked me a question about my deck before the tournament. I immediately give it to him because, like I say, I have nothing to hide about that. So when you play against a friend, it can be difficult to accept the fact that you win or lost, but in the end, I'm happy that he won. I mean, of course, I would prefer to win myself, of course, but the taste of the lose, it's less bitter.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it.
Same this phrase in not my language. It was so hard. I have to think about it 3 times. Okay.
No, you're good. As someone who only speaks one language, I'm impressed at anything that... okay, so besides the fact that you're going to be streaming on Twitch and you have a YouTube channel, iCat or P, what's next for the rest of the season for you? Are you going to go hard to get that top 22 in Europe? To get that,
I already get it.
You're guaranteed.
Yeah. I'm already guaranteed a top 22. I already guaranteed my travel awards for NIC. So basically, my season is over. Mm-hmm. What I don't know yet is if I wanted to play for the LIC or not, because having this. I'm saying this with a little sadness, but this might be my last season, because the card shop mostly work during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know if I can find someone or if I will feel safe to have someone that covers for me while I keep playing. So I don't know what to expect in the future. I'm not ready to end here my very long career, so I'm definitely not ready. But right now, I'm just enjoying everything in this what can be my last season. I'm going to play in Stockholm in a month. I have the Italian SP of Bologna 1 week before NIC. I wanted to test for NIC, but apparently I have a very important with the previous format tournament 1 week before in Italy. And I'm going to play in Honolulu. I have one bye, yay, for the first turn, and I'm going to play in Honolulu, so for the fourth year in a row, I can't go 0-3 drop, unfortunately, this year, at least one win, I'm going to have it. Actually, I'm going to marry the week before the Worlds Championship. I'm already married, but it was just a sign in the city hall. Now we're gonna have our celebration, our holiday. Mm-hmm. And until 1 week ago, we didn't know when the Pokemon World will came. So there was just me and my wife in the watching the closing ceremony. Like I was complaining that I didn't won that game, and my wife was like, shh, we need to know if we have to move the wedding or not. Let's just wait, because there was a chance that might be in the same day. So we was like, please not, please not, please not. 16, yeah, 16. Basically, we were more happy about that than everything else. So In August, we'll end my season with the World Championship. I already been there in Hawaii a couple times for Worlds. They are amazing, and I can't wait for be back there, even if it's a different island, a different city. But I honestly don't know what will happen to me in September, so I guess we will update again in September, October, if it will be the case.
How about you just win Worlds and then come back on the podcast and let everyone know how the story's going?
I get my chance in 2018. I will never have a chance like that again. I know that. So just 0-3 drop, or this year 1-3 drop. That's my path towards.
Just don't play Zora Box again, and I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean that was really bad. Like I realize that now, but in that moment it seems like a good choice. Of course it wasn't, but
We've all
hey.
been there.
If you had a background deck history about the deck that I play in the last 20 years of Worlds, man, you have no idea how much garbage I play in Worlds. You have no idea.
Alessandro, if the people want more from you, where can they get more information from you, follow you on social media, and any shout outs you might have?
Yeah, basically I caterp everywhere. I forgot about Facebook, so you can write me and check about me on Instagram during my travel, Twitter when I update the tournament. If you need to ask question, definitely Twitter. And if you, of course, this is the channel, so if you speak Italian like Kevin, you can follow me on YouTube and Twitch as well. I'm try like in a couple months I will quit the stream on Twitch. Of course I have to work in the shop. I'm gonna try to keep up with the YouTube video. Like right now I'm barely make one video per week because it's really difficult between the kids, the work and everything. I'm gonna keep trying to get at least one video, but nothing guarantee. If you need question, just write me on Twitter. I always answer.
I do want to add. So my grandma immigrated to the US, my grandma on my dad's side from Italy, and she never taught my
Okay.
dad how to speak Italian, but she's now upset that none of us speak Italian.
Of
So
course, I
it
mean it's something that you need to know in the US. Like, how can you order a proper pizza if you don't know Italian? Like,
You're
man,
not wrong.
I was having this conversation about Domino's pizza with Isaiah and Raul before our game. Like, what are you eating?
Myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Mellow_Magikarp. Be sure to rate and review the show. This has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.